Radio Maria now presents The Will of God with Father Robert Young, a program in which Father Robert takes a look at the writings of Luisa Picaretta. And now, here's Father Robert Young with The Will of God.
Hello and good day, dear friends, and welcome to our program today. A joy to be with you, as always, on this Saturday, commemorating our Blessed Mother Mary, and thanking God once again for the gift of the kingdom coming to reign on earth as in heaven through the intercession of Mary, Queen and Mother of that kingdom. I'd like to start the program today with the Angelus, because that's the traditional prayer for this noontime. I know in Central Time it was an hour ago, or will be in an hour from now, but here on the Eastern Time, we'd like to share the Angelus, this prayer that commemorates the fiat of Mary giving her fiat, her yes to God for us, so that the Son of God could be born in her. So let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary,
she conceived
of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh.
And
hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God,
that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ.
Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I'm here with you today. We're broadcasting live from the state of Garden State of New Jersey, and it's truly a garden here. It's very beautiful. We are gathered, various groups of the state and beyond the state, who have come together to study and to celebrate again the great gift of God's will. So they all welcome you together with me today. You'll be hearing, hopefully, as you just heard them pray with me, maybe some questions or comments from those attending our gathering here today. The last couple of weeks, I have been sharing with you the talk I gave at the retreat in Corrado, and at their annual, the association's annual retreat. Well, that's done. And unfortunately, due to technical problems, we lost the recording for last Saturday. So if anybody has a recording of last Saturday, we'd love to hear from you. If you could let us know or send it to us at divinewilllife.org or divinewillministries@live.com. The email address is probably the better way. divinewillministries@live.com, if you do have a recording of that program. It's one of the few times, due to the shutdown of our computer system, that we lost the recording. But in any case, God provides, and we'll go on today. But we're going to pick up now from volume 20. And the passage we were at in June before the last three Saturdays, the date of this passage is December 29th, 1926. And one of the reasons I wanted to pray the Angelus, because the little title, and I think this whole passage, is very much about the Incarnation. And, of course, that was would not have been possible without Mary's fiat, her giving her yes, let it be done to me according to your word, to your will. Without Mary, it would not have taken place. So the humanity of Jesus would not have come to be born, to be conceived and born among us. So the title is How the New Creation of the Kingdom of the Supreme Will was Formed in the Humanity of Our Lord. So this idea of the new creation, that's a very big theme in all of the writings of St. Paul, is also a big theme here in the Book of Heaven, because what the kingdom really is, the restoration of the original grace of creation and the original grace of this communion, this unity of the human will with the divine will. So the new creation is the restoration of that kingdom, that reign of God's will on earth as in heaven. And of course, that's what this divine science is all about as the mission, the work of the Holy Spirit. So Luisa is writing here in this passage, "My sweet Jesus, on coming, made himself seen carrying a son, S-U-N, in the center of his breast, holding it very tightly in his arms. Drawing near to me, he took that son from the center of his breast with his hands and placed it in the center of mine. Then he took my hands in his, crossed them very tightly over that son, saying to me, 'This son is my will. Hold it tightly. Never let it escape from you. For it has the power to convert you and all your acts, everything into light, in such a way as to incorporate you completely into it, forming one single son.'" These beautiful images, you know, these symbolic gestures of Jesus that he uses so often in the Bible, in the Gospels, but even more so with Luisa. Why? Because he's talking about some great mystery here, and Luisa had the great privilege and the gift of being able to see this in her soul, mystically, you know, interior vision, seeing these things, but very real. Jesus really is with her and showing her these things. And so she writes them for us so that we can also appreciate it and learn this way, although we don't have the same vision. So this idea of the Son, remember, the Son of my will, is perhaps the most common metaphor, symbol, image that Jesus uses for his divine will. And here, as in other cases, he lets Luisa see that son being placed in her soul, in her breast. Of course, that's usually where we consider the soul and the heart, of course, is the interior life in our breast. And then he takes her hands in his and crosses them very tightly over his breast, over that son that's shining forth from his heart, from his breast. And he says to Luisa, he says to us, hold on to this now, this son tightly. So it's in him still, and he's letting her touch it, if you will, and put her hands over it, telling her to hold on to it. It's a wonderful image for us, not to let go, not to lose, you know, this great gift of God's will that's in the heart of Jesus. And this is going to be, of course, the lesson that it's formed there perfectly in his human life, his humanity. So she goes, "Afterwards, I was thinking about everything that my sweet Jesus had done in his coming upon earth for the redemption, so as to unite myself to his acts and ask him, for love of his own acts, to make his will known in order to let it reign." Again, it's an important sentence because what she's doing is, of course, in her rounds, is always identifying with are uniting with the acts of Jesus. On the retreat in Corrado, I shared with the group last night here that Sister Assunta, in one of her talks, quoted a beautiful passage where Louisa asked Jesus, "Lord, what can I give you? What can I do for you, offer you in exchange for all you've done for me?" Like that beautiful line in the Psalms. What can I give back to the Lord for all he's given me? And Jesus gives a very simple answer to Louisa. He says, "Give me my acts. Give me my acts. Unite with my acts through your acts, because they're all the fruits and manifestations of the will." So when we unite our acts to his acts, we make his acts present again on earth and multiply their effects. This is the whole beauty and great power of the divine will, because it's eternal, to do that in us. So this is what she's doing. She says, "I was thinking about everything my sweet Jesus had done upon coming to earth." In other words, she's going to be speaking or thinking about his conception in the womb of Mary, "so as to unite myself to those acts and to ask him for love of his own acts to make his will known so that it can reign." It's a beautiful way to pray, isn't it? I hope we're learning, you know, in our own way to pray like that, to say, "Jesus, I want to unite my acts and in this way offer together with your acts everything you've done for love of us and for the glory of the Father. And for love of those acts, I'm going to ask you to please make your will known." It's probably the most pervasive and common prayer in all of the Book of Heaven, which is that the divine will be known. Why is that so important? Well, it's important because if it's not known, of course, it's not loved. And if it's not loved, it's not lived, and it's not possessed. So knowing it is the beginning, and it's so very important. And that's why Jesus will say, if you want to know whether you're called to live this way, the answer is, do you know about it? Because if you know about it, that's the call. Just the knowledge itself carries this invitation. And not only the invitation, but the power to make those seeds come to life, multiply, and grow in us. So she's asking Jesus for love of his own acts. I'm emphasizing this because I think it's something that only dawned on me gradually in my own study. And that is that we focus a lot on our acts, especially at the beginning, trying to be, you know, we want to be as faithful, attentive, consistent as we can. But we're really, the real focus is not our acts, but Jesus' acts and Mary's. Because Mary's acts were perfectly one with his, therefore they contain the same infinite, eternal power of the divine will, of that Son of God's will, that is the light in Mary's own heart, in her own soul, in her own body. So Louisa goes on, "My adorable Jesus added, my daughter, as my humanity was conceived, so I began a new creation." Remember, Jesus' body is part of creation. He's not a creature. The church doesn't call Jesus a creature, but he shares through his flesh and blood, his body and soul, in our creatureliness. He belongs to creation. Everything was created through him and for him, and everything belongs to him. So Jesus is saying, you know, when I was conceived in Mary, it was a whole new creation that was conceived. It was a whole new universe, he'll say at times. Why? Because it was now going to be a redeemed universe through my humanity and through my sharing in creation with you. "Why, in order to lay the kingdom of my will over all the acts that my humanity did." This new creation, this restoration of the kingdom, he says, was so that all of his acts that his humanity accomplished would be the seeds, if you will, and the light and the force that would allow this kingdom to take root on earth again. All the acts I did, both inside and outside of my humanity, were animated by a divine will that contains the creative power. See, everything that God has done in relationship with us, creation, redemption, sanctification, call those the three works of God, the three fiats of God, they all come from his will. And the will is the creative power, but it's also the redeeming power, and it's also the sanctifying power. It's all there in his will. Therefore, my acts underwent the new creation. His acts were then part of this new creation. Why? Because they're coming forth from his humanity and his divinity. And therefore, every act that comes from it is a new creation also. In fact, he could say, is a new divine human life. And then he says, the divine will converted all of these acts into divine will. You know, this is pretty amazing. I don't know what to call it, the theology, spirituality, but the concepts that are so hard for us because we don't have a divine will by nature. It's God's gift to us. But what he says is, you're not going to understand it all now. You're not going to understand it all in heaven. But what I want you to do is trust that what I'm sharing with you, what I'm saying to you, is true and is happening, has happened, and will continue to happen. That the divine will has the power to change whatever it touches, and therefore whatever acts come from it, united with our human acts, into the divine will. And this is not totally foreign to the church. It's not foreign at all, because the church has always said that we are transformed into, St. Peter would say, little gods. We are transformed into God himself, into the divine nature. In the Eastern church, they call it divinization, making us divine. Well, Jesus is saying it didn't just happen, you know, once or twice through my life, death, and resurrection, or just through my passion. It happened through every single act of my life. And again, why does he emphasize this? Why do I emphasize it? Because he wants every act of ours to be united with it, and therefore to have the same power. You see, it's all about this creative, redemptive, sanctifying power. And he's given it to us with his will. And so he says, and I extended its kingdom in my interior and in all of my external acts. So where does the divine will start in Jesus? It's conceived together with his humanity in his soul and in his body, because the soul is part of the body. It's one with the body until for us, it's separated by death. So the divine will is, first of all, in him, in his own human divine being, as Son of God, Son of Man. We don't have it that way. We are conceived and we do exist in the will of God, and it's in us. But not in the same way, of course, that Jesus has it by nature. And the only way we can have it now is by God's giving it to us through baptism as that seed of his own sanctifying grace and divine life that's now going to grow. So he says, first I extended it in my interior, and then from within his interior it went out like rays of the sun into every single act he did, whether it was a thought, a heartbeat, a word, a healing, a preaching, an exorcism, a deliverance, a sharing food, a step. Everything he did was a ray of that divine sun of God's will that comes forth from his whole being. He says, in fact, who destroyed and rejected this kingdom of my will in man? And this is what we'll be talking about here today, is that the kingdom, of course, was fully there in Adam as a creature, not in the same way by nature that Jesus has it, but as a creature, God blew his breath into him and gave him that participation, that sharing of his own divine life, his own divine will. And that's, of course, the teaching of the church. He gave him a soul so that he could receive that divine life. But as we know, that kingdom, that reigning of God's will that was continuous in Adam and Eve was lost. So Jesus says, who destroyed it? Who rejected that kingdom? The human will of Adam, that rejecting my will from his will, did not let himself be dominated or animated by it anymore, but instead let itself be dominated, itself being the human will, be dominated and animated by its own will. So it formed in it not a kingdom of peace and happiness and God's love, but instead a kingdom of miseries, passions, and ruins. Now he goes on, before anything, my humanity was to redo and to call back this kingdom of the supreme will within myself. This is interesting. My humanity, before it did anything else with the world, with fallen human beings or on earth, he says, my humanity had to redo and to call back this kingdom of the divine supreme will within itself, within its own humanity, within my human nature, that I might be all set, all ready, prepared to form redemption. How? Through the acts that would come forth from that divine will, and therefore able to give mankind the remedies in order to be saved. Had I not placed this kingdom, this reign of the divine will, in safety within me, had I not given to it its rights and dominion, I could not have formed the good of redemption. My divine will would have been inexorable, that is, unremitting. It wouldn't have granted in conceding its goods to me had I not had the prime right to form its kingdom in me. Only then, as second act, it would grant to me the remedies to save creatures. So he's saying, first of all, what we call in the church the hypostatic union, the union of the divine and human nature, Jesus had to receive from the Holy Trinity into his humanity for that conception to take place. And he said, only after that happened were my acts able to go forth to be for the good of all souls and to save them. Well, you know, it's very similar for us, isn't it? If we don't know that the kingdom of God's will is there, we don't know that we're even in God's will from the moment of our conception, and that through sanctifying grace we have the indwelling of the divine being, the Holy Trinity, through the gift of the Spirit. If we don't know it, if we haven't, as Jesus did, received, accepted, come to love and cherish that gift, then how can our acts come from it if we don't know it's there? Do you understand? It's very logical. It's very simple. How can I do an act of the divine will if I don't know it's possible? If I don't know that the divine will's in me to do it? And he's saying the same was true of his own life. Until first his human nature had received the gift of the divine will and the reign of the kingdom together with it in conception, he couldn't do the acts. And of course, as Son of God, as second person of the Trinity, he participated in that gift of the divine will back to his humanity that's formed in the womb of Mary. So he says, everything I did was to make this kingdom become possible again for us, for you. But he said, first I had to save mankind. That was my first job after being conceived. So he says, my supreme will lined itself up within all of my acts. Not only was the divine will in him and in his acts, but he said, my will had to be in all of my acts, as well as my acts in the divine will. It dominated and triumphant. It invested my tears, my baby moans, my sighs and heartbeats, my steps and works, my words and pains. In sum, it invested everything. What does invest mean? It means it put itself into it. It enlivened it. It gave it its power, its life, with its own creative power. And as it invested them, it pearled them with its endless light, formed the new creation of its kingdom in all of my acts. It formed the new creation of the kingdom of the divine will on earth in every single act of Jesus's humanity. Therefore, in every additional thing I did, the divine fiat expanded the boundaries of its kingdom within my humanity. Therefore, in every additional thing I did, this divine son, this divine fiat, this reigning of God's will in his humanity expanded. It kept going wider and broader. How? Through his acts. See, every act was an additional expansion of his divine will on earth through his humanity and his human acts. The exact same thing happens for us. So that every act we do, once we know we have the divine will there and we know what its power is capable of, then every act we do, united with it, extends itself, this divine kingdom, this reigning of God's will, farther and wider and more across the earth. It's just like, in many ways, I often compare it to the technology that we're using right here on Radio Maria, that here I am in one little room with a microphone and with a, you know, using a special app, a Skype app on my phone. And anybody who has a computer anywhere in the world with an internet connection can listen to this program. Well, the divine will wants to spread like that. In fact, isn't it interesting that all of the technology that we know that makes this possible came about during the lifetime of Louisa? So, and it's all, you know, it travels by, I don't know if, I guess we're going by the speed of light or speed of sound, I'm not sure which, but in any case, it's traveling very fast. I mean, within a split second, anywhere in the world can hear my voice from this little place. So to me, it's a wonderful image in nature and in what man, God's given us the capacity to do and the great good it can do, to show us how the divine will does the same thing. It just goes out farther and farther. And if you think of our acts or the technology, our acts are the means, the instruments, the concrete things that God's given us to use through our bodies, our humanity, our human nature, to extend this reign of his will on earth. Not only the sacred and holy, beautiful things we do, but also the most simple human things we do. Through them, they still continue to be the instruments. They still continue to be the means, the agents by which this infinite power of God's invisible will goes out. It's the same principle as the sacraments, dear friends. It's all God's grace and the way God's own divine life flows from the acts of Jesus that are made present again here on earth in our time, in this day. And so that's why, again and again, you're gonna see this, the importance of our acts as the means, the principle by which we can extend the kingdom of God's will together, only together, because we can't do it alone. Our humanity, even the humanity of Jesus, he says, he may say it here, he says it many times, is incapable of doing that by itself. His humanity is only the instrument. It's a beautiful, perfect one, but it is the instrument through which the divine will can carry out this recreation, this new creation, and bringing forth the kingdom of God again to earth. With that, we're going to take just a very short 1 minute break here and have a little musical interlude, and we'll come back, and hopefully it's not much left to this passage. We'll complete it, and then we're going to have a few questions, comments from our lovely group here in New Jersey. So please stay with us. This is The Will of God in the Life and Writings of Louisa Picaretta. I'm Father Robert Young, your host. Thanks for joining us. Please stay with us, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to our program, The Will of God, with Father Robert Young.
Thanks for joining us again. We'll continue with our program now and complete this passage. The date of the passage is December 29th, 1926. The volume is volume 20. So after Jesus explaining from his own point of view, from his human and divine nature, how the divine will came to be restored to reign again on earth in the new creation. And by the way, the new creation is not at the end of time only. That will be its absolute perfect fulfillment. But the new creation is now. The new creation came with Jesus. And so what we're learning to do is to be a part of that new creation, to live in it. As Jesus says, if you go into a kingdom, you got to learn the language. Got to learn the customs. Got to learn to appreciate the good things of that new kingdom. So we're learning to do as well. So after describing all this and how his acts extended the kingdom more and more, he goes on, see then how much this kingdom of my will costs. How much love, with how much love I developed it within me. Therefore, this kingdom does exist. There is nothing left now but to make it known. It's here. That's what Jesus proclaimed. The kingdom is here. He would always say, it's near you, or it's approaching. The kingdom of God is upon you. Why? Because it can only have its full reign when the soul receives it. And they had not received it yet. They had not fully understood who he is and what he was about. So he says, therefore, it does exist. We just now have to make it known so as to let all the goods it contains go out into the field. So what I want from you is that just as my humanity left my will free to form its kingdom, you will also leave me free, without opposing in anything, so that finding no opposition in you, my acts may flow in you, and taking their place of honor, they may line up all in order to continue in you the life of the kingdom of my will, this new creation on earth. So when he says line up, he means I want them all to be there that are in order. Every act we do, nothing outside of his will, contrary to his will, and with our best intention, best efforts and love, trying to make it continuous. After this, my sweet Jesus escaped me. You know, he just got away like a flash, as he often does. And I wanted to follow him, but to my highest bitterness in that flash, I saw that all these contagious diseases were about to come that will spread almost in all nations. This is 1926, not excluding our Italy. It seemed that many were dying of it to the extent of depopulating homes. In several nations, the scourge would rage more strongly, but almost all of them will be touched. It seems that they hold hands in offending the Lord. It's a great image, isn't it, for the world today, how the nations are holding hands in order to, they're united for one thing, and that's to offend God. And our Lord touches everyone with the same scourges. But I hope, Louisa says, that he may want to placate himself so that the peoples will suffer less. And that concludes the passage. It's so interesting, I find, that in all the, you know, here Jesus giving this beautiful teaching on his humanity and his acts and ours with his and how he's calling us. And then this terrible scene he lets her see. And why is it, you know, that the two have to be always held kind of in tension, in balance? Well, it's because we're still in the world. We're still here in this valley of tears and exile, as we say, and we're still suffering and fighting the good fight, and we're in the battle, we're in the thick of it. And so he wants us and all that we do and all of these acts not to be out of the world, not to try to escape the world, but instead to be there for the world and to do our acts together with those of Jesus and Mary for the world, and to help, as Louisa did constantly. She loved humanity. She loved the world so much. She was always wanting to suffer for it. And so that's why Jesus lets her see it, to see again from another point of view, we could say, maybe from the dark side, why our acts are so important. Because they're going to affect these times we live in. And they're going to affect all times. But in a very special way, you know, this is our world. These are the days we're living on earth. And he has, as Louisa was responsive to the needs of her time, he wants us to be very responsive to the needs of our time. It doesn't mean we have to be glued to the TV set to know all the bad news. But it does mean that he wants us to see. Louisa didn't have a TV or radio to know these things, but he'd let her see them. Why? So that she would see the importance of her suffering with him for the good of these souls and to save them from these chastisements and these sufferings, just as he invites us to do as well. And of course, so beautifully in the hours of the Passion in a very special way. So it's always got to be grounded, you see, in reality. We're not living with our heads in the clouds. We're not walking with our feet off the ground. We're in the world. We're on the earth. We go about doing all the things the gospel calls us to do, caring for the poor, loving our families, suffering for each other, being faithful to our vocations, participating in the life of the church, attending Mass and participating in the sacramental life of the church, learning our faith. All of that's got to go on. Jesus, I didn't come to abolish that. I came to fulfill that by this gift of the divine will. And obviously, we don't have to look too far to know how much our acts are needed today, not just to mitigate the suffering and the chastisement, but on the positive side, to hasten the coming reign of God's kingdom on earth now, not at the end of time, not in 2,000 more years, but today, today, in this moment, because it's all we have. These are the years and days and precious moments, minutes and seconds God's given us to live and to be with Him in this new creation and to hasten the coming reign of His will on earth as in heaven. I'm going to stop there and see if we have any comments or questions from the friends who are with me here today, who represent various groups in this the northeast part of the United States. Anybody have a... Yes, Lynn.
So when we do an act like walking, you know, we always say walking or walking. So we unite our walking with Jesus's walking in order to make the kingdom known more, so those graces flow over and over and over again to other people all around the world.
So Lynn is asking, so when we do an act like just as simple as walking, we want our steps, our walking, to flow with that of Jesus' walking and Jesus' steps, and we could always include Mary in that, so that the acts that we're doing will help the acts of Jesus to be extended, to be known, to be effective and helpful and salvific for more and more souls. That's absolutely right. It's a great example because walking is something we do, hopefully, if we're able to. We do a lot, and I love to walk. In fact, my hiking is kind of my biggest pastime or recreation. And for me, I like to think of it this way, that every step I'm taking is covering more ground for the kingdom of the divine will. So I'm bringing more of the earth and the territory of the earth into the kingdom. That's what Jesus is doing with his acts. So try to image, as Lynn is saying in her own way, with walking, how each of your acts does that. Or every word I speak, every breath I take, every heartbeat, is another extension, way for the kingdom of God's will to reach out and to embrace someone else. So that means, of course, that those words, those thoughts, those deeds have to be good ones, at least neutral in the sense that they're not bad. So because a bad one could never do that. But to try to extend that reach of God's kingdom in everything we do. So from the simplest things to the greatest, of course, being receiving Holy Communion at Mass. So another thought or question. Yes, Alice.
When Jesus said in his Gospels, the kingdom of God is at hand, do you think he could say that he's meaning the kingdom of God's divine will is at hand? He just never came out and said those words. Do we say it all in his time, for our time?
Yeah, that's a good question. She's saying, do you think when Jesus said, you know, the kingdom of God is at hand, he says it's here in a way. He says it's among you and within you. But most of the time he'll say it's at hand. And she's saying, do you think he meant that's because the kingdom of the divine will had not been made known fully yet, and therefore it wasn't going to be fully present till our time? I think it could be understood that way. I think it could also mean simply that, as I said earlier, that Jesus is the kingdom. Pope Emeritus Benedict says Jesus is the kingdom in person. Jesus is the perfect reign of the Father's will on earth. So in Jesus is the fullness of the kingdom. So Jesus is here, but he's saying it's present in him, but it's not known. It hasn't been revealed fully yet. And from what I understand from theology, the kingdom really is only made known through his death and resurrection. That's where the kingdom is, in a sense, explodes upon the earth, is through his death and resurrection. So he could mean that also, that he hasn't died and risen yet, and the Spirit hasn't come yet. So it could be all of those things that the kingdom would not be there fully. It's coming. He's saying it's on the way. It's at hand. It's here in your person, but it's not really fully effective yet. But we could also interpret it that way. I don't see why not. But I think you have to include all the interpretations. I usually say the answer to most questions about the divine will is yes to everything, because it's all embracing. It includes everything. Another question or thought? Yes, ma'am.
Well, it's more of a comment. Mm-hmm. It came to my mind that you were speaking. The last part was that
this comment Jesus came to her mind as I was speaking.
Jesus is the comment that you're in the world, not of the world.
Yeah, that it brought to mind the statement of Jesus that we are in the world, but not of the world. Absolutely right. We're never, while we're on earth, still alive, we're never out of the world, but we're not of it. We don't belong to it ultimately. It's our exile. It's our passing home. We want to treat it as a home because there are others going to come after us, but it's not our lasting home, as Hebrews says. So we're not of it. We don't belong to it ultimately. Our home is the kingdom of heaven, to be with God forever. But the kingdom of heaven begins here in this world and on this earth. Why? Because Jesus restored it. And before that, it wasn't here anymore. The kingdom was not here. God's laws, as he says, were given through Moses, etc., and the Jews were living the best they could according to what they knew of God's will. But the kingdom had not been restored until Jesus comes. And that's why he's saying his humanity was so necessary, and why we hear of his humanity so often throughout the writings of the Book of Heaven, because without it, it couldn't happen. The reign of God's will could not have come back to earth without the human nature of Jesus.
Yes, we know that the divine will multiplies acts to the infinite. So if we perform an act and we say, okay, I do this, then the divine will, so that same act goes on forever. Mm-hmm. And so we don't really have to do that same act over again, right, the next day or what have
you. You can't.
Right.
In fact, you can't. You know, we repeat, generically speaking, acts, but because of time, you can't do the same thing twice. It's only once.
For instance, if you have a mass said for a deceased soul.
So if you have a mass said for a deceased soul,
so
part of soul.
So that multiplies to the infinite also if it's done in the divine will. So that person, that soul only needs that one mass then because it multiplies to the infinite, right?
Well, her question is if an act done in the divine will is infinite and extends eternally across all time and places, then why would we need to repeat acts? Wouldn't one mass for a soul done in the divine will be enough to save that soul? Well, I believe that probably one mass done well in the divine will is enough to save all souls of all time. But the way God has fashioned it, in the same way we could say, well, why wasn't it enough for Jesus to do one act? Louisa asked this question. Why wasn't it enough for Jesus to just do one act in the divine will? That would have been sufficient to save everybody and make sanctification possible. And Jesus gives a couple of answers. He says, because I had to give you an example to live your whole life in the divine will as I lived mine. And he said, the other reason is it was lost by one act, but it now must be restored by a whole life in the divine will. And so the acts have to be continuous. You could say, well, you could even say that without the divine will, one mass is sufficient to save all souls because it has infinite eternal power. It's Jesus' mass that we just make present again on earth. And the mass of Jesus has all the power that's needed. Why is it necessary? Because we're still in time, and here's the best reason for us having to do it. We don't do ours perfectly. Our human acts are not perfect. When they are united with the divine will of God and the perfect acts of Jesus and Mary, the divine will makes our acts perfect. And the divine will can then transform those acts into perfect, eternal, infinite acts. But we need to keep doing it on earth, first of all, because that's the way Jesus did. And we don't know all the answers as why he had to live a whole life, but he did, out of love for us. But when we do it, we certainly need to do them over and over, because he's also looking to see how much love there is to keep doing it. We all know it's not hard to do one act of charity. The challenge is to do acts of charity over and over, and acts of mercy, especially when they're not appreciated, as Jesus's were not. So that's sacrificial love. And that love, which is the fruit, the act of God's will that is so very powerful, is what he wants to see multiplied and extended and embracing more and more people.
Well, to add to that idea, so often we have been told about the void, the great void, and that in this void we need to fill it with acts united to Jesus and Mary's divine will.
She's adding this fact of that Jesus speaks about, that there's a void waiting for these acts, to fill this void, to bring the acts of Jesus to earth again, because that's a void on earth. It's not a void in heaven. It's not a void in eternity. It's a void in time. And he's saying he needs, as long as time exists, and it will end, but as long as time exists, that void is still there, waiting to be filled. And he says, only when it's been filled enough, it won't be filled perfectly, but only Jesus will fill it perfectly when he returns. But until then, it will be, there is, God knows how much it must be filled before he lets Jesus return, and that will be the end. And he says, there's a void in your life of acts. There's a void in the life of every creature, human creature, to fill. And our part is to fill them, not only for us, but for everybody. But he's saying, when your acts that I know are necessary to fill that void as much as possible, not perfectly, that's when our lives are over. And he knows that number. He says, I know the number of hairs on your head. I know how many acts in the divine will you're called to do for the good of everybody and for his glory. So it's a tremendous calling and gift and beautiful passage. I hope is helpful to us to realize what a great gift the humanity of Jesus is, but also what a great gift our humanity is. Without our humanity, we can't do acts in the divine will. It's the only way. It's through our human littleness, our human heartbeats and breaths and steps and words, and he's showing us little by little, poco a poco, piano piano, how to do it. Thanks be to God. Thank you, dear friends, for joining us today. Thanks to our groups here in New Jersey for sharing with us their comments and questions. And may God's will come to reign in each of us more and more. May that new creation just keep growing and extending in everything we do. And may God bless you. Keep you always in that new creation, in the heaven of his will, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in for The Will of God with Father Robert Young. Be sure to tune in again next week for another episode.